Now you don't have to pretend. Now the truth.
Amen. The Lord is good. Worthy to be praised. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus we come, that your word might go forth, that your people might be blessed, the lost might be found, confused might be straightened out, and that the devil would in fact be defeated in every area of our lives. So Lord, it's our prayer that you get me out of the way so you can have your way, that your anointing would fall upon your people and your word would be received. We bless you, God. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. We want to talk about faith to be healed. Faith to be healed. Amen. Faith to be healed. As I start this message on today, let me say that as is with so many other truths in God's word, that this message in no way covers all or close to all that the Bible says about divine healing. Nor am I suggesting that you should not take your medicine or you should not make your doctor's appointments or you shouldn't eat right, you shouldn't exercise or should continue to do some things that are detrimental to your body. No, I'm not saying that because divine healing comes from God because it's divine. And God's got to give you the word on it. How he's going to do it. He might do it through a doctor. He may do it through medicine. That's why it's so tragic when you hear the stories of children a few years ago that because their parents believed in the divine healing, their children were sick. They refused to take them to the hospital. And they died. Got to get an understanding of the word of God. So I will become your teacher preacher on the day. I'm usually preacher, this teacher. I got to lay some groundwork before we dig into this thing, talk about faith to be healed. We know we have to get our direction from God and we have to know and hear God clearly because whatever happens in our life, it ought to be the will of God. But when God wills that you be healed, it is available. I'm not copping out. I'm talking about how this thing works. Now, that being said, the Bible has much to say about divine healing in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So healing has always been available to God's children. In Exodus 15:26, God identified himself to Israel as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Exodus 15:26 says, and Moses was telling them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. There's some requirements. But why not go with the requirements so you would not be sick? There are other Old Testament scriptures also. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 11 to 12, and verse 15. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. And one of the most quoted or misquoted and well-known Old Testament verses that speaks about our healing is Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. This word healed in Hebrew is Rapha, where it got Rapha from. For Jehovah Rapha, because when you look in the Hebrew, you can take this word and you can put it with God's name as he reveals himself. The Lord that heals, Jehovah Rapha, which means to be healed, cured, repaired, or be thoroughly healed and made whole. By his stripes, We hear, and we say that loosely. You know, you got to have faith with this thing. You are God, by stripes we heal. But do we really believe it? Do we have faith for it? In Exodus 15:26, the word healeth and the word healed in Isaiah 53:5 are the same words in the Hebrew. Same word. In Exodus, same word in Isaiah. But in Isaiah, you talk about the cross. Talking about Jesus on the cross. In Exodus, you're talking about God telling them, look, I gave all this diseases and stuff to Egypt, but I won't do it for you. So you got these same words there. It is at this point that we must consider that Isaiah 53:5 return to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, work done on the cross, the crucified one, the resurrected one for you and I. All he went through. Not only did we gain eternal life and salvation, but we also, among other blessings, can receive healing from God. Oh, my. It's almost like you keep going to a certain place and somebody say, but you didn't know you could get such and such things. I didn't know. But now you know. You can get healing from God, but it takes faith. It takes faith to be saved. So I'm not out of the park. I'm not talking anything weird. It takes faith to be saved. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It takes faith to be healed. And somebody would tell me right now, but I know somebody that prayed, they wasn't healed. And I know somebody I prayed for and they wasn't healed. Well, you're going into God's business right now. What is God's will and what was in that person? And did there was faith in the room. Because when you get to the book of Acts, you're going to find out that there's a recipe for healing. And when I look at the word recipe, I find out recipe used to be the old word for prescription. Oh, my God. I said, God, well, prescription had to do with healing. And yes, it used to take a recipe to the pharmacist because the pharmacist would go in there and churn the stuff up. See, some of the stuff is already made now. But they used to have, what is that? Is that thing called a crucible? Is that called the thing they, come on, somebody. Recipe. I will confess to you today that there are many New Testament scriptures that talk about healing. But in conjunction with the Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 53:5, let's look at the verse in 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. They talk about the same man, Jesus. By whose stripes we're healed. That word healed in 1 Peter 2:24 in the Greek, because the other words in the Old Testament are in the Hebrew, and the Greek means to be healed, freed, and made whole. Oh, I wish I had some consistency here. Amen. Amen. The word in Hebrew says to be made whole, completely whole. Then the word in the Greek says to be made whole, to be healed, to be free, free from whatever situation. And not just physical sickness, any kind of infirmity. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm just setting the groundwork. Let me set this thing up for us. Divine healing, the healing from God, includes the healing of all types of diseases and disorders. That's why some people say, I don't know what happened. That's why the doctor told their hand to say miraculous. They won't say God's name, but they say miraculous. I read some information that there was a doctor praying for healing. Ah, oh, come on. Somebody trained in trying to heal folk, realized and knew that healing came from God. Oh, Jesus. The question then becomes, from my experience and from others we know that we pray for, people pray for us or whatever, that they would not heal. What is God's will? What's going on there? Was there enough faith in there? Was there enough power of God? Was the Holy Spirit? Was the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what happens is either somebody's preaching the word or teaching the word, or somebody remember what God said. That's what starts stirring stuff up. That's why the enemy don't want you to come to church. That's why the enemy don't want you to study the Bible. That's why the enemy don't want you to come to Bible studies, because when you begin to study the word of God is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and the word of God begins to just conjure up stuff and mess up stuff and break down stuff and tear down stuff. It's by the word of God that Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness. He said, hey, man, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. See, the word of God, you can sing all you want. Singing good. But that word, that's what the devil respects. The word of God. Because it's Jesus in the flesh. John chapter 1. That word is so powerful. That you know, look at Genesis if you don't believe me. Did he just speak things? I wish I had it. Did he not speak things? The very sun that warms our body, the very moon that lights up the sky at night, did he not just speak things into existence? He got his hands involved when he made us. Oh, glory be to God. Because they want to make us in our own image. We have a touch of God in us. And he blew into us the breath of life and man became a living soul. I can't speak for God. I'm not going to make excuses for God. But, you know, every time somebody tells me about something somebody that didn't get healed, I say, how about the one that did? How can we magnify the negative and don't magnify the positive? How come we always want to poke holes in what God's trying to say to us? For we walk by faith and not by sight. We do everything else by faith. Anybody here paid a lottery? Don't raise your hands. That's by faith. Come on, somebody. Anybody here play the street numbers? Oh, that's by faith. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Come on. You don't have to raise your hand but say, yes, sir, something, amen, something. That's by faith. I told you before, you work, you get paid every week, every 2 weeks. By faith, you walk in there. They ain't show you no money. They ain't show you no bank account. They ain't even show you your check. But you walk in there faithfully every day, working your little heart out. Sweating. Acting nice. Want to hurt something. But you need the digit. You need the check. At the end of the week, you got more faith than they better give you a check. Oh, Jesus. Can you imagine me coming in here? Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to raise some bail money. A couple of our members didn't get paid. And before the Holy Ghost stepped in, they got mad. So I want to go around the house so we can get up on the roundhouse. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. But just like God was saving in the Old Testament before Jesus came in the flesh, in the New Testament, he was also healing in the Old Testament before Jesus came in the flesh in the New Testament. So divine healing is not something new or just pertinent to the New Testament. Then we need to know and understand and realize something that the enemy does not want any believer to know. And that's to get a grasp of the fact that along with our salvation, the eternal life, and our joy, and our peace, and our mercy, and our blessings, and our love and deliverance, that at the cross and through the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, by his stripes, also provided for every believer divine healing. My God. Along with all the other stuff that we can grasp and hold on to. The easy stuff. There's so much stuff that, you know, that you got to do by faith. And the other stuff we can deal with. Love, mercy, grace. But folks talk about healing. There's so much wrong stuff being taught about healing. That folk all mess up. They don't want to touch it no more. People come down to get healed. They confused. But they don't know what to believe no more. But the word of God is real clear and straight on what it says about healing. Our very salvation is through faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight. But what does Jesus do in the Gospel of Mark? Look at Mark chapter 6. I'm still setting up the foundation. You're going to get to Acts 14. I'm setting up the foundation. Just stay awake for a minute. Amen. I know how it is. You've been sitting here. You've been through a lot already. But somebody here might just get healed today. You believe God for it. I'm not playing. I'm real. I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious. Look at Mark 6, 1 through 6. What does Jesus do when there's no faith? Look at 6, 1 through 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. He said, I can't do nothing here. I ain't enough faith in here. Not enough folk believing in the word, believing in who I am and why I came. I'll just teach. I'll just teach in the villages. I can't do this. Then look at Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. Look what happened when he went somewhere else. That's amazing when you go somewhere else sometime. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 53. They left his hometown and went to Gennesaret. And when they had passed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. That means immediately they knew him. Look what they did. And ran through that whole region. They ran to South Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, East Philadelphia, East West Philadelphia, South. I'll be like that. I got somebody needs to be healed. And the medicine ain't taking too long. And the doctor know what they talking about. Man, I'll run home and get them. They went the region round about, they began to carry, look at they began to carry about in beds those that were sick when they heard he was. My God. They were believing for the people that were sick that couldn't get there. Now in his hometown, they rejected him. He goes to another town and they heard that he was there. Man, they got excited. And look at verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick where? And besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as what? Touch him with me, what? Hot glory be to God. All right? It's got to be the atmosphere. It's got to be in the environment. I ain't got nothing wrong with faith healers, but you ain't got to wait for one to come to town. Pay all that money to get in. There's a doctor in the city, he's healing. Ain't got no doctor bag, but he's healing. He's healing the body and the sin, sick soul. See what Jesus could do when there was no faith? And look what he did when there was some faith. He said, okay, I'm just going to teach the folk in my hometown. But when I go to another place, that's the way it happened in your home church. You'd be like, oh, I ain't going. I can hear them anytime. The preacher goes somewhere else and people just fall all out the pews. Woo! He blessed me. She blessed me. But see, you at home. You so messed up at home. You so spoiled at home. You so used to hearing stuff at home. That's how the devil mess you up. Oh, I can hear him any Sunday. I can hear her any Sunday. Oh, that ain't nothing. You go somewhere else and preach the word of God. They come back and tell you, oh, you're pastor. You don't know what a gift you got. Oh, you're co-pastor. You don't know what a gift. Oh, minister, listen. Reverend, listen. Don't let folk mess you up like that. Because you get used to folk going, hey, I ain't going to listen to them. Put the plug in my ass. So when people get robbed on the church service because you don't come for what you're supposed to come for. Because it's hidden. Like you wouldn't want in a foreign country where you get killed for serving the Lord. We wouldn't treat the word like that. And because it's so available to me, we ought to be less respectful of God and his word and the church and the people of God. But we got that all up in us. Because we think we can reach over there whenever we want. And it's amazing what the enemy does. Look at Mark 9 and 23. I'm still setting it up. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Don't y'all leave before I finish setting it up now, because you're going to miss it now. I'm setting this. I'm setting the table now. Now we're gonna eat in a minute. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." That word "believe" is the Greek word pistuo, which is faith, which means to put one's trust and put one's faith in. And the word "possible" is dynatos, somewhat, you know, similar to dynamite. Possible, based on power. Able is based on the possibility of the mighty one. Oh, my God. In the New Testament, look at Matthew 9. Turn to Matthew 9, 20 through 22. That woman, you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Check this out. I tell you, we're going to learn something today. We learn every Sunday, but there's some more stuff. Look at 9, 20 through 22. It says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself," she must have had some faith for something, "for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy what? Thy faith hath made thee whole." Lord have mercy. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Thy faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And look at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 9. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this?" That's an awesome question. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? That's faith. They said to him, "Yeah, Lord." When's the last time you say, "Yeah, Lord"? Lord, touch my body, but you believe that he could do it. Look at verse 29. "Then touch ye their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And the eyes were what? And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." Because it wasn't his time yet, you know, that kind of thing. But faith, you know, that faith for healing. That's powerful stuff. Two blind men, they follow him. And they say, he said, "Can y'all believe I can do it?" My God. See, you ain't going to follow nobody. Ain't going to do nothing for you now. I had a witness up in here. You know you ain't going to follow. They ain't got nothing for you. After a while, you're going to drop off. You know, you with your homie, they ain't acting right. I'll see you later. You make your phone ring or something. I got to do something. You out. Healing comes through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the healer. You got to know the source. Look at Matthew 12, verse 10. Well, sometimes Jesus wants you to do a little something. Look at verse 10, Matthew 12:10. "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day." Look at verse 13. Then he says to the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." So you see, they talking all this stuff. This man trying to get his with a hand. Oh my God. Folks don't care about you getting healed. You got to keep your focus. You got to know. They talking all this stuff. And he told the man, "Look, if you believe me, stretch out your hand. You come down front to get healed." Some folks say, "Oh, I got to go. I ain't for this. I got to get out of here. Oh, no, I got to meet somebody at 1 o'clock. I got that. I ain't got time." You better come on down front and get your healing. You worry about what other folks think, what they doing and all that kind of stuff. They're not even involved in your healing. You need some folks that believe God. You don't need folks that don't believe God. You need some folks that believe God. Amen. That believe God can do it. That they seeking God's will for your life. He said to the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." He stretched forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. My God. So you got to believe in spite of what it looks like, because it's a spiritual thing. I wish I had a witness. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's real spiritual, and the enemy don't want you to do that. Don't want you to get involved. You may have to physically demonstrate your faith by stretching forth your hand. Sometimes God will tell you, touch yourself. You got to. He said, you still got the migraines? In the name of Lord, have mercy, Jesus. All of a sudden, you get to singing and throwing out the Tylenol and Excedrin. Some of us won't because we're scared it might come back. Sometimes God will tell you, don't keep that migraine till Sunday. All I'm trying to say, you don't always have to have somebody. Sometimes God will tell you. But you do need certain things in order that healing might take place. You know, all healing doesn't take place immediately. Look at Luke 17, verse 12. For all you that are still with me, I'm still setting it up. I know it's a long setup. Luke 17, 12 says, and as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's another thing God showed me. Some of us don't know him as Master. We just got a little convenient Jesus. He's Master and Lord. That means he can tell you what to do. Some of us just want him to be Savior so you can have a nice funeral. I'm saved. I'll see him again. No, he's got to be Master and Lord. The leper said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass as they went. It wasn't immediate. In a spirit of obedience and faith, as they went to show themselves to the priests. Can you imagine how they look? Stuff just falling off of them. As they went, as they believed, as they went to see the priest, they were cleansed. Jesus. As they went. Sometimes you just got to believe God, and it's coming. Your healing's coming. You got to have that kind of faith. You got to hold on to it, because it's coming. It's going to get better. As a matter of fact, who kept you while you were in it when you thought it wasn't going to get no better? Some of us are walking around with stuff in our bodies that's supposed to kill us, and we still. We're supposed to be crippled, ain't supposed to be able to think, supposed to be messed up, not supposed to be able to hold a job. Let me finish setting up. Somebody look at it and say, Pastor, you're getting strange up in here today. Healing comes by prayer, by the spoken word. Divine healing can come by laying on of hands. It can come in many different ways. But let's get to Acts chapter 14. Faith to be healed. Faith to be healed. When we look at those few scriptures, what it is that we need? Number one, we need to look at the man's condition. Number two, look at the man's reception. And number three, look at the man's faith. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never did what? Never walked. Look at this condition. This man never walked. And that's not to say they didn't take him to try to get somebody to help him walk. This is a man, a grown man, that never walked. He probably thought, this is the way it is for me. I'm grown now. This is it. Impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Look at his condition. He never walked. See, in order sometimes for God to move, it's got to be a situation that man can't deal with. Because if man can deal with it, man can deal with it. So sometimes God got to show forth how powerful he is by dealing with a situation that man can't cure, man can't deal with, man can't handle, man can't function in it. It just. But then, look what verse 9 says. The same heard what? Paul speak. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So part of the recipe for faith is this. First of all, you need a condition that man can't handle or that humanity can't handle. And then you need the word, even the preached word or somebody reading the word or somebody remembering the word. So you need a condition, but you need the word. He said, the same heard Paul speak. Lord have mercy. And you know what real Paul preached, you know. He heard Paul speak. Which means that even though I'm in a condition that I have not been able to walk all my life and I'm a grown man, I heard Paul speak. Paul spoke the word of God. That's what you and I need to speak, the word of God.
That's good.
But not only did this man have faith, Paul had faith in what he was preaching. It's no sense of me standing up here preaching and teaching about healing if I don't believe it. That I'd be a phony trying to get you to believe something I don't believe in. That's hypocritical. That's not what we call to preach the truth. You know why I said Paul had faith? Paul had faith in the word and faith because look what it says in verse 9. Paul was steadfastly beholding this man and he began to perceive that what that man had what?
To be healed.
The title of our message, faith to be healed. Paul was speaking the word of God. Paul's in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is speaking in this situation. Paul's preaching, looking at this man. He saw the man's condition. The Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that this man got healing faith. And see, if Paul didn't believe it, the next verse, Paul would not have said what the Holy Ghost told him to say in the next verse. What did he say? And Paul said, with a what?
I know what I'm doing up in here, Paul said. I ain't afraid of none of y'all. I'm not afraid of his condition. I'm not afraid of the fact this man can't walk and hasn't walked since he was a man. I know what God is telling me. And what God is telling me, this man is ready to receive it. Not only do I have faith in God and God's word, this man got faith in the word of God. That was just, he received the word of God. And received the word of God, Paul said, with an loud voice, stand upright on your feet. Nobody ever told him that before. Everybody else was up and said, oh, that's Jay. Little cripple man. Where's your 10 cup today, cripple man? Paul said with a loud voice. There's some folk around him because later on you find out they thought they were some kind of small G-O-D-S's. And if the man didn't believe, you think he would have moved? If I can't walk, and you come by and tell me, stand up on my feet, I might cuss you out. You've seen me, grown man laying here. Yeah. You see me. Ah, Jesus, come on somebody. Here you gonna come to town. See, come on, y'all better be real with that thing. Y'all saw him crawling through Market Street. Come on. See, y'all don't want to be real. Y'all know y'all be thinking, saying that, look at that poor man. How was he getting around? Come on, somebody. How was he getting around? Thank you. But he had to have faith. He had to believe in what Paul was preaching in order for him to receive his healing. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said anything. Paul would have been like Jesus. I'm going to leave this town. I'm going to Nazareth somewhere. I'm going somewhere where they can hear the word of God. When they know I'm in town, they start bringing the sick. They start bringing people on beds and live people to the street that anybody can touch.
My God, Paul said, but without stand up right on thy feet. And he did what? Leap and did what?
Now, you and I know when a baby's born, they'll learn how to walk. He didn't walk first. He leaped. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. He didn't walk first. He leaped. Why did he leap? Because when you've been messed up all your life and God touches your life, the ball. Joy kicks in. He leaped and then walked. I said, Lord, how are you going to do that? He act like he always been walking. He said, yeah, in the spirit, Paul saw him walking. It's just he had to wait his turn. He had to wait his time. Somebody here been dealing with some stuff for a long time, and God said, it's your time. We sang that song, it's your time to be blessed. You've been nursing this condition. You've been dealing with this condition. And the doctor ain't lying to you. The doctor's giving you the best report that they can. But I told you before, all God needs is a situation that man can't cure and some faith and the word of God. And we got a recipe for healing. It's just that simple. You don't even have to call it a healing service. Paul's preaching, hey! He perceived, which means he had some knowledge from on high that this man was about to be healed. That's why if you got gift, you ought to be on point. Don't sit down on your gift, because your gift requires that you have perception. And when God gives you the perception, it's not for you and I to be seen. You got to give God the glory. Because it's a privilege for God to allow you to see when and where he's going to work. Oh, my God. That's the recipe. You need something that man can't deal with. You need some faith. And you need that word. That's what happened here. Paul was speaking. And he steadfastly beheld him. And that's why you don't have to doubt. That's why, you know, when somebody on point, they tell you what God said, you ain't got to worry about it. You got to check with nobody else. And some of it comes later, as they went. Some of it comes right away. That's what they did with Benny Hinn. They had to start sending the people to the doctor to get some verification. Because they said Benny Hinn was a phony. They said he would set this up until they got verification from the doctors. From the same doctor that they had gone to, they had the condition. So they went back and found they didn't have the condition anymore. That's because there's so many people out there, you know, perpetrating the fraud and messing up the kingdom with all the phony stuff, trying to make money off us. But the word of God tells us exactly what we need to be healed. You need some faith to be healed. This man leaped and began. Can you imagine what happened to his family? I mean, you read the rest of this, they thought they were some kind of strange god. They wanted to worship them and all that kind of stuff. But when this man went home, you know, I guarantee his whole family joined some kind of church, somebody. He meant to say, I ain't got to carry you to Market Street no more. Somebody else, they always try to get over. You know, they're going to stop your Social Security check. I was like, come on. Come on. Come on. He almost laid back down. No. I'm making this up. It's not in the word. I made this up. But if I've been crippled all my life, and God stopped out and blessed me on a day that I wasn't expecting no blessing, I was expecting to be crawling for the rest of my life, and God stopped by and blessed me and made me well, I don't care about no SSI check. I got my life. I can walk where I want to walk. Go back and tell my brother, give me my bicycle back. Woo, glory. Don't take it up from me no more. I can catch you down. Glory be to God.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
What does all that mean? That means that the things I used to do, I don't have to do no more.
I'm changed. I'm brand new.
Since Jesus came in to my heart and into my life. Some of us were crippled. We didn't know it. We were walking, but we were in fact crippled. Oh, I wish I had a witness.
We were messed up. Didn't know we were messed up. And then somebody came and spoke.
And we received that word. That's why Paul said, we ain't come with no flattery stuff. The plain word of God. We didn't come preaching when you had to go run to a dictionary. We came preaching the simple truths of the word of God. And God allowed faith to kick in. And that man received that word by faith. And Paul had faith in what God was showing him and said, look here. I like they said with a loud voice. You know how some people are. I'm not sure. And then after you get up, yeah, I knew, yeah. I knew God's going to do it. But why are you whispering? That's why you got to be prayed up and in tune with God. You can't play church. You can't play with ministry. You can't play folks that pray for me. Don't play with that. Pray for my healing. You don't play with that. That's real. And they see something about you, something in you. And you got to learn to forget their name. Write it down. Pray right then and there. Person wants to be healed. They want to be delivered. And God can heal all kinds of infirmities. It's not just physical stuff, mental stuff. Whatever might be going through. You're stuck somewhere. God can deliver us. Where did all this divine healing come from? Well, I'm like every other believer in here. I see through a clear glass darkly, but this much I do know. There's something about the cross of Christ. There's something about Calvary. It's horrifying what they did. For sin, he came and they crucified him, lied and spit. But when he got up, when Jesus got up out of the grave, now we understand why the enemy is so busy trying to wreck your life and wreck your marriage and wreck the church and wreck ministry because of what Jesus did. Don't forget he said, you know, he held captivity captive and he went down to the lower parts of the earth and he spoke to death and he spoke to sickness and he spoke to all that other stuff that wanted to raise us. And guess what? My children now have a choice. And if they choose me, they shall have the victory. Well, Pastor, how about those that died? They still got the victory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in them should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I like about Acts 14 is, it didn't say this man was in church. All healing might not take place in church. This man received what Paul was saying. You got somebody in your house? You got somebody in your neighborhood and God sent you to go speak to them? And they're receptive? And the Spirit of God is speaking to you and telling you what to tell them to do? Well, how do you know God's telling you to tell them to do it? Because they did it. How did Paul know God was telling them? Because the man leaped and then walked. And he wasn't crippled no more.
You got to believe in the healer to get your healing.
And sometimes God will use a person. And sometimes you know, it'll be a word. You could be in a service and the word could just minister to your body.
Somebody said, I felt a warmth come over me. I don't have an appointment till next month. I got to call them tomorrow. I want them to take another look. I feel.
Faith to be healed. Through the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ. He got up with all power. What do you think all that power is? In his hand. So whatever you and I need, God's got it. We got to believe him for it. Got to believe him for it. Stop letting the enemy make a mess out of you. The enemy wants you and I to stay crippled. Want you and I to stay low to the ground. Don't want you to make it. Don't want nothing to happen in our lives. Don't want us to get over this part of our life, that part. Don't want us to get over grieving for this person, grieving for that person. Don't want us to think we all messed up because we made a mistake. How many of us made a mistake? Everybody in here made a mistake. But guess what? Confess and go on with it. All of us have made mistakes. Stop living in the mistake zone. And the state of depression is not the 51st state of the United States. We need to release some stuff. Let go of some stuff. Stop beating yourself up. God has already forgiven you, and you're still beating yourself up. God's forgiveness is more powerful than your remembrance. Someone's walking around and don't think we ought to be healed. I guess God won't be the God that is for the rest of my life. Did God tell you that? Or are you afraid to exercise your faith and that's what you accepted because you think that's a nice spiritual thing to say? What did God really tell you? Well, you can't find out till you talk with him. And you can't talk with him just on Sunday. You got to pull that Bible out every day. Talk to God every day. Have fellowship with him every day. Because as they went, some were the immediate and some were there they went. But somebody, there's some people here today, God has spoken to you about your situation, about your condition, and he promised you healing, and you're scared because every time you go to the doctor, they keep telling you they see something. Well, guess what? One day you're going to go back there, and they ain't going to see nothing. I wish I had a believer up. And I'm cool. I go to the doctor and say, well, Mr. Carpenter, I see something. I said, good, tell me what it is so I can tell God about it. And it might be something that might mess you up a little bit, but don't let me get to my closet. Stop. What is God saying to you about your condition? Anybody ready to leap and walk? But you got to believe. Got to believe God for it. It's okay. It's all right. And if I get bad news sometimes, I got some good news called Jesus Christ. We're going to close up and let me tell God wants me to tell somebody, will you stop trying to do his job? God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Some of us got some of the most beautiful burden bags. Because the stuff is messed up, so at least make it look pretty on the outside. Put it in something pretty, you know. Yeah, something like a designer bag. Right, make it nice. But the inside, let that stuff go. Today. Let it go today. There's some folks you can still be friends with, but don't let them all close up in your circle. Oh, my. I better close this out. Somebody said, Pastor, you done stepped all over me, and I need the first aid kit. But that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God, that's why we teach and preach the Word here, so we can get stronger in God's word, so we can believe God. But some of us holding some stuff, you ought to let go, let go, let go, let go. Renew your mind. Say, God, teach me how to let this thing go. Teach me, Lord, how to give it to you, God. Because I've been to the altar every Sunday, and I gave you some stuff, but I had a little string attached to it. And when I went back to my seat, it followed me. Because it's my pet. It's my pet. Because every time I get around my friends that are doing bad, I take my pet out. Me too. No, give them a testimony about what God did in your life. How God delivered you from this. How God delivered you from that. Give them a testimony. They looking at you talking about, well, you go to church every Sunday, me and you in the same boat. I said, oh, no, I'm not. If I'm in a boat, I'm in a boat with Jesus in it. And I'd rather be sinking with Jesus than to be sailing with your sorry. Oh. But Pastor, you don't understand. If they leave, I won't have no friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's what Paul was trying to let them know. You don't have to stay in this condition no more. That's the message for today. You don't have to stay in that condition no matter what it is. You don't have to stay in that condition anymore. Hear the word of God. Exercise your faith. And Paul said, rise up out of that mess. Why are you living like that? Why are you thinking like that about yourself? God has redeemed you, washed you in the blood of the Lamb. You are now sanctified, and you still with your head. Talk about nobody love me. Greater love. Have no. You get the love of God in your life, and then you'll be able to figure out who else loves you. Use God's love for the standard. Look, somebody, look. Just be set free. We're going to close this message out, but be set free. Set free. You finished with that relationship, set yourself free. I know they fired you from the job and it wasn't right the way they did it. Set yourself free. Because guess what? The last time you drove out of the company, you're still in operation. And you're still outside the company. Man, it's there. For what? Go get yourself together. Go get yourself another job. I know your last marriage almost destroyed you, but it didn't. It almost. Why? Because God stepped in. God said, you better go ahead and get yourself together. Stop looking like that. Pretty yourself up. Handsome yourself up. I got somebody. Woo, Lord have mercy. And for those of us that keep on making mistakes and doing the wrong stuff, God said, I got you too. My blood can get you. Next time you want to make a decision, talk with me. Stop going out on your own. Consult with me. I love you. I neither slumber nor sleep. I take care of you. I blew into you the breath of life. I redeemed you. I died for you. I got up for you. I know all about you. I can take your mess. Come to me with your confusion. Come to me with your shortcomings. Come to me with your hang-ups. Then I can tell you to rise up and walk. Because there's some folk that think you down for the count, but guess what? They ain't seen nothing yet. They ain't seen. It doth not yet appear. Don't let nobody count you out. Don't let nobody write a book about your life. Tell them if you write it, don't you do the last chapter, because it ain't over yet. You can't conclude my life. You don't know much about me, do you? Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Faith to be healed. Faith to be delivered. Faith to be set free. That's where your joy comes in. When you leave your burdens to the Lord, leave them there. Let go. Let go.